Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah. Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Last ball of the game. Bates, her off breaks from around the wicket. She bowls. Dean comes down. Misses. And the stumping is completed, and New Zealand somehow have kept the series alive. I wouldn't have given them a one out of a million chance 30 minutes ago, but credit to them, they've stayed in the fight, they've applied pressure, and that pressure has not been handled by England. They have crumbled. The White Ferns win by 3 runs. We have a series, Anna Corbin.
Wow, that was a great finish, wasn't it? And a much-needed win by the White Ferns, who are back to full strength with, Sophie Devine back, Melly Kerr back. They were back for game two as well, but they weren't able to handle the pressure there. They got it done in Nelson. And the man whose voice you just heard there, captain of our cricket commentary team, Daniel McCarty, seemed quite a lot of joy about that one, Daniel, to be perfectly honest, just judging by the reaction.
Good morning to you, Smithy, and to everyone. Absolutely, because about 48 hours earlier, I was the complete opposite. And I must admit, I was trying to lead Anna Corbin down a path 12 overs into that run chase of the obituary of the game, Smithy. You know, sometimes you need to let people know how you're feeling. I thought New Zealand had no chance. I think at one stage I said, I hope I've got egg all over my face at the end of the game, and I'm the happiest man around, because they proved me utterly wrong.
Let's look at the batting side of things first, can we? We set them up by scoring 155. Perhaps could have got a little bit more. Basudenhay getting 34, and I'm one of the people crying out for success, but I'm crying out for other people to get the success for us. So the batting performance, though, I look at the names, Bates 14, but Kerr 44 not out. She seems to just be the Williamson, doesn't she? She steadies the ship. And Sophie Devine 60 from 37, 5 fours and 2 sixes in there. So we ask them to do too much, and more often than not, they deliver.
Yeah, I think it is a fair critique when you look at the overall nature of the side and the performances over a longer period, that maybe there is, or no, I don't think there is any maybe about it, there is a reliance with the bat on those three players. Susie Bates did in game number one, didn't get enough support. And that's the issue at times, isn't it, Smithy, is you need to be the sum of all your parts, especially against the better sides. And unfortunately, I think we just need to recognise in the last 10 years, Australia, India, England have has taken some pretty big strides ahead of us. You know, when T20 international cricket arrived, we made the final of the first two World Cups. But you look at New Zealand's performances in recent times, they haven't been of a standard. So, you know, longer term, you need more players contributing, absolutely. And that's why Basudenhay's innings, I think, was really important. She was incredibly busy, at times to a fault, but she got away with the risks she took, and she gave some impetus to that order. You know, the good thing about this batting, Smithy, three power plays, they've done a pretty good job in three straight games. So that is something. Mm. And then they were able to just build on that good start in game number three, because they do have world-class players in Kerr and Devine. So I think Sophie Devine said it herself, maybe they could have gone a couple of overs earlier. But 155, I thought, was, you know, right about par.
So she was a very small part in the game at the weekend, but she's had opportunities in the other two games to deliver, and she's had a lot of experience. I'm talking here about Maddie Green and that number five role. What is holding Maddie Green back for more consistently match-determining performances?
I saw similarities to the way they went about their innings, Matty Green to Heather Knight. Matty Green took some time to get going, soaked up a lot of balls, has to be said. I think the strike rate for the first two games was, you know, mid-65s. Heather Knight did something similar, but Heather Knight then kicked on, and when she was able to push the button, she had clear plans where she was looking to hit the ball. You know, Matty Green just struggled to go up that gear, Smithy, and that's the thing. If you are going to, you know, take a few balls to get set, you know, there's a lot of T20 cricketers around the globe who do that. Ben Stokes famously in a World Cup final, didn't he? But he is then able to finish. So Matty Green sort of put herself, I felt, in an interesting position where she was putting herself under scoreboard pressure on her side. But then when she needs to go, she's got to kick on. It's a risky path in T20 cricket, isn't it, Smithy? You spend a lot of it.
It is risky. Okay, I'm still questioning who's going to be there in two or three years, but I suppose if we keep winning, they'll keep learning. And I'm looking at the Brooke Halidays. What about the bowling side of things? When it came to defend that 155, and I'm looking at some of the bowling figures here, is there any area for perhaps for some concern there in terms of our youngsters and our quicker bowlers, the Hannah Rose? I noticed Fran Jonas did extremely well, but the quicker bowlers a bit worrying. Lea Tuhuhu as well?
Yeah, Tuhuhu over the course of the two games was a little bit inconsistent, very leg side, and got punished. And I think it was a feature maybe of the whole of the New Zealand attack inside that power play and just beyond. They were quite loose. They bowled a lot of boundary balls. England had hit 15 boundaries inside 13 overs, I think it was, Smithy, and that's why we felt the game was over. They then bowled really well at the end, all of them. Game number one, I thought they were, you know, overall very, very good with the ball for 14, 15 overs, and unfortunately didn't, you know, play that excellent cricket for long enough and with the ball in game number two, and leaked quite a few runs, I think 69 off the last six overs. But Rosemary Mair, I thought, was impressive. Over the course of the weekend, that first over she bowled was quite menacing. You know, pace, bounce, movement. And I was sort of pulling my hair out after she conceded one run. She didn't get a second straight over. I just felt she was showing good form, and it was the best time for her to bowl. Jess Kerr, I think, over game number one and two, has shown she's got a skill set that can work because of her ability to just swing the ball prodigiously. But the likes of Hannah Rowe, Tuhuhu, who seem a little bit more straight, you know, straight up and down, they've got to be a little bit more accurate, fair to say. Fran Jonas, you've already name-checked, I thought very good over the two games. And Meely Kerr bowled substantially better in game number three. And her wicket of Jones just opened that door further, completely bamboozling the English finisher.
So, okay, what's next? And my recollection of a couple of articles I read is that England are about to get some replacements or some strength coming back into their side after the women's IPL.
The real England we'll see in game number four and five. And that's why those three games are so important, and I guess why I felt so deflated after the collapse in game number two when New Zealand lost 5 for 8 and 16 balls. I felt it was such an important game. New Zealand, in my mind, needed to be 2-1 up heading into the completion of the series on Wednesday and Friday at the Basin Reserve, because you've nailed it, Smithy. Sophie Eccleston, she returns from IPL duties. She's just the number one ranked bowler in the world in T20 cricket. Nat Siver-Brunt, what a player. Her power on that middle order is frightening at times. And then you got Danny Wyatt, who's been such a good player at the top of the order, quite a dynamic opener. And you got the massively talented batting all round, the teenage prodigy in a lot of ways, Alice Capsey, who returns. You know, we got Devine and Kerr back and looked substantially better in game number two. They're getting twice as many players of that calibre back.
Yeah, that's the worrying aspect for it for me. You know, I think we're going to get a real gauge of where we're at and the remainder of this particular visit from England. What are we like in the park? I watched the game in, specifically watched the game in Dunedin, which was game one, and I thought that Heather Knight had the dimensions beautifully sorted out down there. But boy, they look a very good unit in the park. And how do we compare in terms of in the park? How's the keeping side of things going? Do we look as snappy as England? Can we be better?
I think in game number one, England showed, as you saw yourself, they were better in the field. The setting of and their ground fielding and catching. New Zealand a little bit sloppy in that first game. I think of the key catch, I think it was Heather Knight, who went on and scored, you know, the match-defining innings, was dropped, you know, reasonably early in that innings. I thought the ground fielding in Nelson substantially better from New Zealand. Great commitment, threw themselves around, saved a number of runs in the field. Catching, though, still my heart rate goes up when one goes up. I don't feel, you know, massively confident about the catching group. The Black Caps are in a similar reel, can't they, Smithy? I think we fans have suffered at the hands of way too many drop catches this summer in totality. But I thought the ground fielding was substantially improved, especially in game number two, and they took all the catches when they needed to. Games behind the stumps certainly work in progress, especially with the slower bowlers. Now, New Zealand tend to go with the four, well, in this series, four pace bowlers, only a couple of spinners. The World Cup's in Bangladesh. I would think the sort of balance of that side's going to change somewhat. I'm not sure if Susie Bates becomes a bigger part of that. She, of course, you know, fronted with the last over of the game. Her only spell over the course of the game is in Nelson, and what a time. So I think games need to get a little bit sharper there. There are a couple of missed stumping opportunities that you would say were on the more difficult side. There was one or two, though, that were relatively straightforward. Yes, you took the one that mattered right at the end of Charlie Dean to secure the win, but that's certainly a work in progress because, boy, oh boy, when you go to Bangladesh, keeping over there is so important, isn't it, because of the steady diet of spin and how much spin and variable bounce they'll see.
You're seeing enough from our spinners then? Are you happy that when we get to Bangladesh that they're going to be able to carry the workload? Because if you look at the average age of them, I mean, Neelie Kerr's the veteran, isn't she? If you put Eden Carson in there, you put Fran Jonas in there, and you think to yourself, oh my goodness, Lee Kasparek's still floating around the squad but not playing yet?
Played for New Zealand A, picked up 3 wickets in that big one-day win when New Zealand A beat England A by over 100. Hayley Jensen took 4 for. Kasparek did a good job, so she certainly has got to be in the mix, because I think she sort of helps the balance of the team, and because she's good with the bat too, and they clearly put a little bit of stock in the bowler's ability to get runs, because I think they all recognise there's a bit of fragility in that middle to lower order. So I think Kasparek has to be in consideration for a World Cup in Bangladesh, but really impressed with Fran Jonas. Neelie Kerr, I don't need to tell the audience how good a bowler she is on her day. I thought she was well off it on game two, but much better in game three, as I think I've already said. Carson looks a nice player for sure, but hasn't really featured against England in the series. So the greater question is, yes, you'll need more overs from your slower bowlers at the World Cup, but how does it affect that balance of the side and not impacting the batting too much?
Yeah, absolutely. Incidentally, it doesn't look like Sale GP is going to be in Littleton anymore. Would Wellington be interested? What a great venue Wellington would be for foil racing. I mean, any number of beaches around the place. Would it be a possibility?
Well, I've long been a propaganda minister on this one. Yeah, not only we could host it, the likes of Lyle Bay, just absolutely magnificent. We could take it into Wellington Harbour, keep it close to the CBD. But for complete wildness, why don't we chuck them out on the Cook Strait in a 6-metre swell? How entertaining would that be?
I was looking for a serious answer. I was genuinely quite interested in your opinion on this.
Well, Wellington Harbour is so close, even for Tony. Whether or not this council has A, the gumption, and B, the money to actually draw something in, I'm uncertain. You might have heard, Smithy, we've got a few cracked pipes.
I heard that you've got a few cracked pipes there, but we're only talking salt weeder here, and you've got plenty of that, and it just comes in and goes out again. So, and I was just thinking, but you do have, I've got to say, you do have orca sightings, whale sightings, not sure about dolphin sightings in the harbour. You certainly have your issues there as well for conservationists.
Yeah, the aforementioned Lyle Bay. I live not far from and perched a little bit higher above so I can look down on it. Often dolphins are in there. You know, it's a wonderful part of the world, the Riviera of the South Pacific. Smithy, I don't know why Sale GP wouldn't want to be part of it.
Oh, exactly, I know. And Russell Coutts, one of your favourite sons as well, I would imagine too. Hey,
good to meet him, boy, right?
Scott has just texted in. Natalie Dodds should be our keeper and opening the batting too. What do you know about that?
it's another name for sure. Because the thing with Gaze, that they've tried to use her as an opening option. If they could find someone who could do both jobs and do it well, Verzadenhout's another who has spent time behind the club. So it really is a case of simply someone leaping up and grabbing it. And Verzadenhout has had a long sort of run, and that's why I felt her knock in the third game was, you know, really positive sign. I'm a realist. It gets her another game, doesn't it? It gets her another game at least, a knock like that, and hopefully she can build upon that, because that is a gaping hole. Someone who could open the innings and keep at a high level. I think Ben Sawyer would give you a massive cuddle as you arrived in camp.
Well, I think any wicketkeeper that you pick these days should be able to bat in your top four or five. I mean, look at Healy. Amy Jones bats at, what, five or six for England. That's about as low as you want to get. Yep. I think otherwise, in T20 cricket, it's just a waste of a spot in the side. So, very good, Daniel, and realist. Realist, that wasn't one of the adjectives I would have described you, or nouns I would describe you as. Realistic, Daniel McCarty.
I haven't been paying attention to Super Rugby, Smithy. How are the Hurricanes going? Can you tell me how the Hurricanes go? I haven't really been paying much attention. Are they doing all right?
Well, clearly not.
They've been written off by everyone, so I assume they're 2-5, because everyone told me prior to the season they weren't going to be any good.
Well, quite clearly you weren't listening to the first hour of the show, which we dedicated to rugby, and if you weren't listening, that's tough. Thanks very much for your time.
Give my best to Jamie Wall.
Jamie's a happy camper. So there you go. Cheers, Daniel. Thanks for your review. Cheers,
see you, mate.